In today's Mishnah, we're in the eighth and final Mishnah from the second parak of Masechta Makot. And the Mishnah begins, or it's to debate whether it begins with the words Kotzeh, but we'll continue without it. It says, Rotzeach Shegalash Le'ir Miklato. So we deal with someone who killed by mistake, or Bashogeg, and he's gone to the city of refuge. Ratzu Anshei Ha'ir Lechabdo. And the people of the city, they recognize this individual, they want to give him kavod, presumably due to his stature, or who he was prior to this inadvertent murder. The Mishnah says, Yomar Lehem, he has to tell them first, Rotzeach Ani, I am a murderer, through my actions I've caused the loss of life by way of accident, and he has to show distress about the circumstance. If they nonetheless persist, Amrlo Afal Bikhen, nonetheless, we'd still like to show you respect. Mishnah says, Yikabel Mehem, he doesn't have to persist with that argument that says, no, I'm a rotzeach. Why? Because the Torah says, v'zeh devar harotzeach, which is, again, this is from Parashat Shoftim, where it says, this is the matter of the rotzeach, but the Mishnah understands, the Chazal understand that the devar, meaning, ein lecha ele dibur harishon, meaning once he's told them once that he's in that city due to an accident that came about through his involvement, once he's said that, he doesn't have to persist, and they can show him kavod. Let's continue. Malin hayu l'schar l'levim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir says lo hayu malin lahen schar. So I've already mentioned in the six Ari Miklat, he wouldn't have to pay any rent whatsoever. The debate in our Mishnah is regarding the other 42 cities of the Levim that would also afford a Rotzeach refuge as well. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if someone sought refuge in that city, they would have to pay rental to the Levim. And that is because when it talks about the six cities plus the 42, it says Va'alehem Tidnu Arba'im Ushtaim Ir. You've got to add an additional 42. And the understanding is it's only for Miklat, meaning that they are kolet, they afford refuge, but not that the Rotzeach being there can live there for free. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. It says Lo Hayu Malin La'Schar, you wouldn't have to pay at all, because it's Va'alehem Tidnu, meaning when it's an addition. It's an addition also of the fact for all needs of the Arei Miklat. So, you know, it's just like the six Arei Miklat, the Rotzeach wouldn't have to pay any rent also too when it comes to these other 42 cities. It says, V'chozer l'shrara shahayaba. And then the other debate we find between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda is what happens after the Kohen Gadol dies. He's free to leave that city, he can go back to where he lived originally. So the debate here is what happens if this Rotzeach prior to the accident and him ending in this Arei Miklat, prior to that event, he actually held a respectable position. For example, it was an Av Beit Din. Mishnah says, the Kohen Rabbi Meir, he would go back to that position because it's Yashuv HaRotzech El Eretz Ochuzato. There's a Gzer Shav from Eved Ivri when it says Ve'lechot Zadiv Yashuv, the same Shiva Yashuv, just as an Eved Ivri would go back to Lamash Hechziku Avotav, Eretz Ochuzat, meaning his familial lands, so too when it comes to the Rotzeach, he would go back to his position, Lamash Hechziku Avotav. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Loya Chozer L'Shrara Shahaya, he wouldn't go back to his position. Why? Because he understands when it says he goes back to his land, he goes back to his land and that's it, but not to any other positions he may have had prior to the accident. Let's now begin the third parak. So the mission begins now by saying, Ve'elu hin alokin. These are the various violations for which one would receive lashes. It's important here to understand that lashes can actually be, and Kati goes into this in great detail in the introduction, we'll go through most of what he says, but for a number of different types of categories of offences. The most common one, the most well-known, is if it's a lota, say a regular negative prohibition that's violated that has an action that goes with it. So in other words, someone violates this prohibition by doing something physically. There are other situations as well, and that is if someone violated a prohibition that's punishable with karet or mite b'edei shamayim and is forewarned against doing so. They'd also be punishable with malku, with lashes. As the Mishnah explains, Ve'elohin alokin, these are examples of the prohibitions that someone would receive, we refer to it as 40 lashes, but really the 49 minus one, the 39 lashes. That is, Haba alachoto, someone has a relationship with his sister, alachot aviv, his father's sister, his auntie, vachotimo, so his auntie by way of his mother, va'al achot ishto, so his sister-in-law, va'al eshet achiv, which is his also sister-in-law, but it's his brother's wife, va'al eshet achi aviv, which is his uncle's wife, va'al han nida, if he has a relationship, even if it's with his wife, but she is a nida, she hasn't yet become tahor. So all these things are actually punishable with karet. So if someone's forewarned, they would actually be against violating one of these prohibitions, they go ahead and do so, they would receive lashes instead. It's important to note, however, that unlike the other prohibitions of forbidden relations we mentioned before that were capital offences, these are not capital. Beit Din wouldn't kill anyone who violates prohibition, but it, as we mentioned, is punishable by karet, so if they were forewarned, they would get malkut. Next is almana l'kohen gadol. A kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a widow. It says almana grusha lo yikach. And a grusha v'chalutza, a divorcee or a chalutza. This is going back to the case of Yibum, where a man passed away without having, and he was married, didn't have any children, that the surviving brother is meant to really perform Yibum and thereby marry the widow. If not, then the process of chalitza is performed, and she's free to marry who she likes. But a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha by way of isur d'rabana, rabbinic prohibition. Because chalitza is similar to gerushin, which is divorce, which is prohibited on a biblical level, the Chachamim said, due to the similarities, they prohibited the chalitza as well. So what the Mishnah says is if a regular kohen marries a grusha, that's a negative prohibition that is violated, so receive malkut, how do we understand about chalutza fitzasum midrabanan? Well, that is because if someone violates a rabbinic prohibition, they can receive what's called makot mardut, which is still lashes for violating a rabbinic prohibition, which is in some respects more extreme. I'm not sure if we'd like to talk more detail, but we might be doing so soon, so I'll just leave any of the actual differences between the two for a later time. Let's continue. Mamzeret unatin l'Israel. We explain that a mamzer, this is someone who was born from a relationship that was prohibited by way of karet, and natin, this is from the givonim. We've discussed them a number of times that dated all the way back to times of Yeshua. They weren't allowed to marry into Israel. Importantly, the mamzer is asur min haTorah. And the, once again, when it comes to the netinim, this is midrabanan, so it would be malkut mardut. So the first was a mamzer of netinim Israel. That's a male marrying one of the female mamzer or netina. And here's the reverse case, or bat Israel that marries a netin, a male netin, so givoni, or a mamzer. That would also be chayav malkut, as we explained. The Mishnah explains that an almana ugrusha, if we're dealing with a woman who was widowed and then remarried and was divorced, Mishnah says, if a kohen then marries that woman, chayavin aleha mishum shdei shemot. These are two separate prohibitions. Therefore, if he married her and he was forewarned against doing so, then he would receive two sets of lashes. However, a grusha and a chalutza, so if we're dealing with a woman who, unfortunately, was divorced and also went through the process of chalitza, we say, ein chayav aleha mishum shem echad. The reason is, firstly, that it's only one of them is actually prohibited on a biblical level, like I've already explained. And therefore, he would only receive one set of lashes for violating the Torah prohibition and not makot mardut as well. Those are Mishnah today.